This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Sean Wade. Sean is with Plains Cotton Growers and set to join us in just a few moments. First off, World Ag Outlook Board Chairman is Dr. Mark Jackanowski, and USDA puts out an outlook for both dairy product and class prices every month. What's the latest? Jackanowski says
tighter supplies and strong demand, both domestic and internationally, means strength in product prices and in milk prices. So all of our main products that we report, cheese, butter, non-fat dry milk, dry whey, etc., price forecasts were raised this month. And in terms of the class prices, our class 3 price was raised 90 cents per hundredweight to $19.70. Class 4 price was raised 40 cents per hundredweight to $20.80 per hundredweight.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is with Plains Cotton Grower. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hi, it's good to be with you today on this cold winter day.
Well, and as temperatures have gotten colder, I guess, across a good portion of the cotton-growing regions of Texas, It's also interesting that there's snow in some areas that would grow cotton, but they're closer to the coast. It just kind of shows how strange the weather patterns have been.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, from being up here in West Texas, we're kind of used to things being a little bit dry, and when it gets cold, it's just cold. That Mother Nature pushed that cold weather down there towards the moisture and the coast, and you start seeing some really kind of strange things happening. And like I say, snow and, you know, wet weather, not unusual, but snow certainly is what is unusual this time of year as you get into southern parts of Texas. And I think I even saw a news report that said New Orleans was expecting 3 to 6 inches of snow. And, that's interesting since we were all there last week for the Beltline Cotton Conferences, and it was just cool, but it wasn't snowing, so I guess we missed that one.
Let's talk about the fact that there's still some cotton, actually, that needs to be harvested. The last time I was out and about, actually saw one field that I was starting to wonder whether or not it would be harvested at all this year. But, yeah, we still have some fields that need to come out, right?
Yeah, we just have a few, I think, just a few remaining spots that may still have some cotton in the field. Certainly there's still a few modules on the turn rows waiting to be picked up. But, for the most part, we are beginning to see, more and more gins complete their 24 crop ginning season. And really up, probably less than 5% of the cotton that we would have expected to be kind of ginned on the high plains is still kind of outstanding at this moment. And when you look at that, at the classing office report from the Lubbock and La Mesa cotton classing offices, you add those two together, you're looking at about 2.3 million bales classed at this time. You could probably, back that off by about 100 or 125,000 to account for maybe some out-of-state bales that got ginned up in the upper panhandle from either Kansas or Oklahoma. But still, right in that neighborhood of around 2.2 million bales, running bales classed at this point. So, looks like this crop is going to kind of settle in somewhere around that 2.2 to 2.3 million bale mark. Might climb a little bit above 2.3 million bales, but certainly a much better year than last year. Quality has held up fairly well. Certainly we saw some issues. Especially with leaf and color grade, on some of this cotton, it got a little bit of rain and weather on it. But, for the most part, a pretty decent crop, quality wise. And again, certainly a better, crop from a production standpoint than we've seen the last couple of years by about 50%. It's nice to kind of break out of that 1.5 million bale slump that we've been in the last 2 years and get something over 2 million bales on the books. And hopefully we'll have, good moisture through the winter and into the spring and maybe even get back to closer to our 10-year average, which is, probably in that 3 to 3.5 million bale range. So certainly things are looking up, but, I think a lot of folks are just glad to get the 24 season kind of behind them now and start to look forward towards what may be in 2025.
So part of having that larger crop is the benefit that it provides to the entire infrastructure, if you will, because in the past when you've had those lighter crops, that means fewer gins operating. So definitely putting pressure on that infrastructure. Has this been helpful for the infrastructure in the region?
You know, I think it is. It is helpful. Certainly not not as much cotton as we had hoped to be making. You know, if we turn back the clock to around the first part of August, you know, we were really, you know, sitting on what looked like a very good crop and just needed a couple of rain showers in August to kind of help us, you know, get that thing to the finish line. Unfortunately, that, you know, that wasn't the case, and we saw the crop go downhill pretty quick from there. But even so, you know, being able to put, you know, more bales through the gins this year is certainly going to help them out. You know, we still had some areas of very difficult production conditions and some gins, you know, that did not, you know, get to kind of partake of that extra production this year. But again, you know, hope springs eternal, and hopefully we were able with the additional production able to kind of help maybe get some of these gins into a position where they can be available to us in 2025, and hopefully, like I said, take advantage of a nice crop that we could put together next year. So we'll just kind of keep our fingers crossed that the weather cooperates, and then we'll kind of keep on this trajectory. Hopefully this is just the start of an upward trajectory from a production standpoint, and that's really the best medicine for all of our infrastructure, whether it's the gin, the oil mill, or the warehouse. So certainly, you know, hoping that you know, continues to bear fruit.
I guess you can't grow cotton without seed. But at the same time, it is a sizable investment. Is there a way that producers can kind of get an apple-to-apple or a cottonseed-to-cottonseed comparison of different options that are available for them?
Yeah, there is. You know, PCG, one of the things that we like to do every year, and we've done probably for the last 15 or 20 years, is put together a little spreadsheet that we call the PCG Seed Cost Calculator. And what we do with that that spreadsheet is gather up information on all of the commercially available cotton varieties and all the different technology packages that are out there, and put that all down into a spreadsheet that allows a producer to, you know, filter those results by technology type, whether it's just, you know, BT only or BT ExtendFlex or, you know, other stacked gene varieties, wide strike, the new AccentFlex varieties, or even just conventional varieties. So we've got all of those different combinations of cotton available to the spreadsheet. Actually, there's about 115 different listings. So a lot of varieties that a grower can go in and compare. And we utilize the manufacturer's suggested retail prices. It's got a little component in there where you can put in a plant population per acre or a number of seed per foot on a different row spacing, and allow you to actually calculate the estimated cost to plant these varieties at different plant populations and then compare them side by side to kind of see, you know, which ones you might want to put out on your field or in your farm, and you know, kind of get a better feel for them, you know, personally. But this is kind of that first look at, hey, let's whittle this list down from 100 to maybe 4 or 5 varieties that we can compare side by side and kind of see what the cost looks like for the different company offerings that we have out there. And this spreadsheet is available on our Plains Cotton Growers website. So you just go to the website, www.plainscotton.org. There'll be a link there on the website that you can download this spreadsheet to your own computer and, like I say, start to play with it and look and compare varieties on your own. So I would really encourage folks to look at that resource and take advantage of that tool to kind of help them begin to make those decisions for the 2025 planting season.
Just a couple of minutes left, but insurance is one. ARC PLC is another. Couple of big decisions coming up, right?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, here on the Plains, our sales closing date is March the 15th. Of course, down towards Central Texas and the Blacklands, their sales closing date for crop insurance is February the 28th. We're just getting to the point now where growers are going to have to start making those safety net decisions from an insurance perspective on what they're going to, you know, kind of deploy on their operation to kind of help them, kind of manage that safety net component. But also remembering that there are sometimes some interactions that have that do exist between crop insurance choices and then our Farm Service Agency safety net programs like ARC or PLC, the price loss coverage. We've got a deadline for signing up on the FSA side. It's actually a month after our sales closing date, a month to 6 weeks after. FSA just announced that April 15 date for ARC PLC sign up. But we'd really, really encourage growers to remember that since the crop insurance and their FSA program decisions, choices have to be in alignment so we don't get into any problems. We really need to know what we're doing or going to do by March 15th, by that crop insurance deadline, so that we can make the proper decisions, the proper choices at sales closing day for insurance. And then we have a month after that or so to go in and finalize, corresponding decision over at the FSA office to make sure everything stays in alignment. So, like I said, it's just it's a busy time of year for growers. A lot of evaluation, a lot of math being done, trying to figure out, what they're going to do, what their budgets are going to be, arranging financing, and, a plethora of other decisions that have to be made before we even get to the point of putting a seed in the ground. So, we try to make a lot of tools available to growers, always willing to visit and, encourage folks if they have questions to give me a call here at the office or one of the other folks here on the PCG staff. Ask those questions and hopefully we can help bring some clarity to whatever that might be that we're not maybe understanding or are unsure of, how the programs might be operating as we head into this 2025 growing season.
Sean Wade is with Plains Cotton Growers online at plainscotton.org. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, or strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
CattleCon's headed to San Antonio, February 4th through 6th, 2025, where farmers and ranchers gather to shape our industry's future. Remember, if you ain't at the table, you might just be on the menu. Check out the latest in ranching at the Texas-sized NCBA trade show. Network, learn, and grow your operation. Don't miss this chance to steer the cattle biz in San Antonio, where the Alamo spirit lives on. Visit convention.ncba.org to get registered. CattleCon 2025, where the beef industry meets.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Sean Wade, Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A long process to amend federal milk marketing orders has crossed the finish line.
All of the orders were approved by the requirement of either two-thirds of the producers voting yes who participated in the referendum, or if it was necessary, two-thirds of the volume of milk of the producers who were participating in the referendum.
Dana Cole of USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service says the request to amend and modernize the 11 FMMOs took over 2 years to craft. The new milk pricing system is scheduled to take effect June 1st. However, for one component of the FMMO,
milk composition factors, that will be effective on December 1st.
Cole acknowledges the conclusion of what she called a very extensive FMMO process that
allowed for extensive industry input and participation.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.